Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to episode four. Is it four, Lloyd?
Four? I think
four.
It's four.
No, it's four because last time you held up three fingers.
It is. That's right.
So it's episode four of On Deck, our podcast all about the Steam Deck because we are hyped for the Steam Deck and I think a lot of you are hyped for the Steam Deck as well because a bunch of you are watching these episodes. So thank you very much. If you're listening to this, wherever podcasts are, then you can watch the video version over at our YouTube channel, which is over at nerdnest.tv. And if you're watching this and you want to listen to it, you get it in your ear holes and not in your eye holes, then you can find this podcast wherever podcasts are downloaded. All right. Last time I asked a question, I said, what are some future topics that you guys wanted us to talk about? One of you sent in a comment that we really, really liked. So we wanted to talk about it. And that was disc one of five. Lloyd, why don't you tell everybody what that comment is? And this is my co-host, Lloyd.
I'm Lloyd, everybody. disc one of five responded to your comment saying, should or could the Steam Deck be used as a hybrid game controller on the PC when not on the go, acting like a Steam controller 2.0 via Bluetooth or USB-C? My vote is yes. So that is actually a really great question. One of the big things we're going to be talking about this episode is a great interview on Rock Paper Shotgun that covers some things that really haven't been said about the Steam Deck yet. And one of the things that they were talking about, to kind of spoil the things we'll get into later, was picking up from a game you've paused on your PC on your Steam Deck. So your Steam Deck becomes an extension of your PC. And then when I saw this comment from Disc 1 of 5, it's like, yeah, what if it's really, truly an extension of your PC where you can, if you want, use this as a rechargeable controller for your PC to play some games? I'm sure we're going to get a lot of comments below saying, what? Who doesn't use keyboard and mouse when they PC game? You're crazy. But there are a lot of people, including my co-host Bill, that doesn't use that very often when he's gaming on the PC. So that would be a really great thing. And also would maybe allow Valve some wiggle room about the lawsuit that kind of happened a while ago.
Well, okay, so let's talk about the lawsuit. And then I want to respond to Disc 105's comment with what my thoughts are of this idea. And then we'll get to the lawsuit. I wouldn't use it. Like, I don't think that I would use that as a separate controller, kind of like the Wii U. I don't think I would use the Steam Deck as a controller. I would want something smaller and lighter to use as a controller.
Right.
But I'm all for it being an option for people who want to do it. That being said, let's talk about the lawsuit real quick. So for those of you that don't know, I've said a million times, one of my favorite controllers of all time is the Steam controller. It's not perfect. There's things I would absolutely change about it. And maybe I'll do a video about that coming up in the near future about like what I would like to get changed about the Steam controller. But I love that controller. And it was a real shame when Valve got sued by Scuf or the company that owns Scuf Gaming for violating a patent. Now, that patent was for the back paddles. So Scuf Gaming are like these third-party controllers for consoles that have like extra buttons on the back for your ring finger and your pinky finger. And Valve had a similar function. And so Scuf Gaming sued them.
Right.
Long story short, Valve lost the lawsuit, had to pay $4 million in damages, and then sold off the rest of their inventory for $5 a piece, which is why I have two Steam controllers and not just one. And that also meant that they couldn't keep making the Steam controller, which is why it's almost impossible to get one right now. You got to go on eBay and pay a stupid amount of money.
Yep.
We got some good news on that front. We got some very good news on that front. According to the appeals court, which this lawsuit came back in 2019. We're now in 2021, coming up on the tail end of it. Mm-hmm. And this lawsuit this appeals court basically said they ignored prior art. And I am not a lawyer. I don't play one on TV. Leave a comment down below if I get something wrong. Prior art basically says you can't patent something if somebody has already invented it.
Right.
That's not you. And essentially, the long and short of it is that the appellate court says there's prior art, so they didn't violate the patent.
Right.
And that means that we might get a Steam Controller version 2.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. I wonder if the Steam Deck's going to support the Steam Controller 2. I would assume so. That would be really awesome. But yeah, they found some online review of a Xbox 360 controller that had buttons on the back or paddle controls on the back. And they're like, well, SCUF didn't invent it. We didn't invent it. It's prior art. And they're like, yep, that's right. Let's have another look at this. So hopefully we'll have a better outcome here so that they can maybe come up with a 2.0, because you want Bill to be happy and have his Steam Controller 2.0.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just about having a Steam Controller 2.0. I think it's really important to have a Steam Controller 2.0 because you have the Steam Deck and it has two sticks. It has a D-pad. It has the two pads. Mm-hmm. It's got the gyro. It's got all of this stuff. And then you dock it. And then you have to pick up some other controller when you sit down to play a game.
Right.
And now you have a separate set of inputs that you have to have memorized that are different from what you were using before. And that, like, I don't know about you, Lloyd, but like, I have trouble when I'm playing a game and it says press X and I'm like, which friggin' controller am I using right now? I gotta look.
Yeah.
Like, I struggle with that part of it. And maybe other people don't, but I know for me, like, if I'm using the touchpad on the Steam controller and I dock it and suddenly I don't have the touchpad anymore, I'm probably just not gonna dock it. And that means that it's not going to be as useful as it could be. So right. A Steam Controller 2.0, I don't think it's 100% necessary, but it's going to solve a lot of problems that people might run into. And I think at the end of the day, that's a very important thing.
Definitely.
Yeah, so I'm excited about this. Although, to keep in mind, the original lawsuit, 2019, the appellate court, 2021, who knows how long before it's actually resolved. I don't know anything about the law. I don't know if it can be appealed again the other way and go back and forth.
Sure.
I don't know how that works. So do you?
All I see is someone gets a bad outcome on their lawsuit and there's an appeal. And then there's an appeal to an appeal. Then there's an appeal to the appeal to the appeal. So I would assume yes, but I don't know, because I'm also not a lawyer, nor do I play one up here in Canada on CBC. Just Canadian.
All right. All right. Let's move on to some of the other comments. What's the next comment that people had mentioned, Lloyd?
All right. We were talking about, there was a lot of people that were upset that we call the Steam Deck a console. We understand it's not a console. It's not a PlayStation that you plug into your TV, but it's more of a consoleized PC because it what it purports to be is a closed ecosystem for a lot of the people, with the PC ability to then go in and tweak stuff and change things and install whatever you want on it. But for a vast majority of users out there, that is not something that they want to do. So this might bring people to PC gaming. So there's a lot of comments on that. And one of the things that we said is it would be good if developers start optimizing their games for the Steam Deck and Steam Controller and using all those great APIs that Valve is going to be putting out. And Demon Highwayman says, I really hope Steam has a little icon, as they do for the different VR devices, to say that the Steam Deck is optimized with or for the game. And that is not something that I thought of before, but it makes total sense. Just like when you're looking on the Xbox store, you can see if something's optimized for your Xbox Series. When you're looking on the PlayStation store, you can see if it's a PS4 or a PS5 game. It would make a lot of sense that if you're looking at Bob's Great Adventure, the great new video game that you want to play, if it's a VR title, if it's a standard game, or if it is Steam Deck optimized. So that would be a nice little UI thing that Valve could do fairly quickly, I would assume, compared to engineering a bunch of other stuff to show people that, yeah, this game has been optimized for the Steam Deck.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And I will say, you know, you brought up the idea of whether it's a console or a PC. I did it like when I edited the video, I make little chapter markers so people can skip around and listen to, or watch the part of the video that they want. And I named one of those chapters different things for different people because that's what it is.
Exactly.
But I've been thinking about this because a lot of people send comments and there was like a whole argument thread between I wasn't involved in it, but
right. There
was people arguing back and forth in our YouTube comments about whether or not it was a console. And the thing that I thought of is, well, there's dev kits. Do they have dev kits for PC? Not really.
Right.
You just make your game for PC. This has a dev kit. In fact, those dev kit requests are now open and you can request to get a dev. You can't unless you're a game developer, but you can now request to get a dev kit sent to you, further lending credence to a console like PC.
Exactly.
That we tend to subscribe to. But that's the next thing.
Yeah.
The Steam Deck dev kit requests are now open. They did say it's limited, so they're going on a case-by-case basis.
Right.
There's a link in the description down below. Hopefully, if you are somebody who is a developer and you get your hands on one of these things and you want to talk to us about this, please let us know.
That's right.
Because we're very, very interested on it. Dev kit requests now open. You would think, Lloyd, it's September. You would think that this would have happened before, seeing as how
yeah. The
system is released in December. But at the same time, you're not making these games only for the Steam Deck.
That's right.
You're making these games for PCs in general, and they just happen to run on this console-like device
right. That's
just a PC. Yep. So maybe that's not nearly as necessary, but I mean, are you surprised that it's this quote-unquote late?
I am. There must have been development kits out already that certain big developers, big yeah. publishers would have already had access to, and they knew that this was coming. But this is pretty common when you're near to a console launch, you want to release your dev kits for developers. Just as you said, though, Bill, this is a little bit different than most consoles because you can yell at me in the chat if in the comments below if you want, where you don't need the dev kit to play the game. This would be similar to, say, early on in like a PlayStation 5. There'll be a dev kit that is basically just a really souped up PC that will kind of run the code sort of in the way that you expect the final stuff to have. And then they come up with a final dev kit. I'm assuming that that's what this is. It's a final dev kit that developers out there that want to test their games on have access to. Otherwise, they can just put together a beefy PC and put a 720p screen, I guess, on their computer to kind of see how the fonts and everything will kind of render out that way.
Yeah, although, you know, the fact is that people, like, I've talked about this a few times. It's hard for companies and, you know, idiots in their attic like us, or in your case, basement, to figure out how this is going to compare. How is Game X going to run on the Steam Deck? Because the APU that's in the Steam Deck is a new thing.
Yep.
And because it's a new thing, it's hard for people to compare that to currently existing hardware. So, you know, there's always people who are, you know, armchair quarterbacking here saying, oh, it's going to run like this. You'll probably get this many frames per second on this. We're not going to know until we actually get this thing in our hands. But
yep.
I will say, you know, you mentioned that they had other versions of the dev kits before. I'm sure that that's true because we've seen pictures of, and they had different buttons. Like
yeah.
some of them had round buttons and some of them had more elliptical buttons,
yep.
and or not elliptical, but like candy bar shaped buttons, yeah. more longer ones.
Tic-tacs.
Yeah, Tic Tacs. Thank you. That's what I was trying to think of. So we know that they have different versions, but now that they've got this, it seems like they've got their final hardware.
Yeah.
And they're starting to ship that out to more devs, and I'm getting real excited. Although I won't get to play mine in December unless you guys cancel. Listen, everybody who's watching this,
right?
Just do me a solid.
Yeah.
Don't buy your version. Let me get it, okay? Please.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the same way. I'm the same way. I checked mine again. We'll get to that in a second. We'll talk about that later. Let's go into the next. This is more a comment than a question, and it's actually an answer to something that you were mentioning in the last episode, Bill, which is about partial controller support. So Bruce Eric says partial controller support means that a keyboard and mouse might be required at some point. It could be during installation to click next to install Direct3D or to click play in the launcher to start a game. So if you can't play the game 100% in big picture mode or install it and run it, then it only gets partial support. So that's what that means, and that totally makes sense, and that should have been pretty obvious, but obviously it wasn't to either of us.
Well, yeah, because it like when I looked at it in the store, it said partial controller support. I thought, well, can I play the game with the controller?
Right.
And the answer is yes, but I wasn't sure how that worked. One thing, just so everybody knows, in like the Steam FAQ for devs, basically, they have an FAQ for devs. They said, make sure that you try running your game and keep this in mind. Do you have to reach for a mouse or a keyboard at any point? If so, make sure that you streamline that right. So it's a little smoother and more like a console.
Right.
All right, what's the next comment?
All right, Martin McDonald commented, Nintendo Switch has an option where you double or triple press the home button to magnify. I imagine the Steam Deck will have a similar feature with the touchpad. Totally. We were talking about, is there going to be a mode where you can zoom in, all this stuff? Well, yeah, totally. You could probably make your own. You could roll your own zoom in button just by setting up your different buttons or controls to do different things using the Steam controller support. So, or... yeah, whatever that API is called. So that totally makes sense. And yeah, I'm sure that something like that will be there, or you could roll your own if it isn't.
Yeah. I don't have anything to add there. Anything for the next comment?
Yeah, so this one's from Donald Tyler, and it says, what's this page y'all are talking about where it says when your Steam Deck will ship? I searched my email online, and I can't find anything. So for Donald and all the other people that commented, if you want to find out when your ship date is, you go to the same page where you pre-ordered. So you go to the official deck page and you go down to the pre-order section. But instead of a pre-order button, because you can only pre-order once, if you're logged in to Steam, you go there and we'll say, expect it to ship, and then we'll have a date. Mine says Q1 2022. The people that say December 2021, I'm very angry that I'm not there. But congratulations to those people that are going to be getting the first units off the assembly line.
Yeah, and I just loaded mine up again. It's Q1 2022. So yeah. Basically, you just go to store.steampowered.com/Steam Deck. You log in,
right.
And it's going to tell you what you did. And you can cancel your reservation right there, and then I'll be able to buy mine sooner.
Or just send it over. Like, just don't even cancel it. Make sure you get it first, and then just send it our way. That would be fine.
Yeah, I'll send it back. I promise. Yeah. I just want to be able to create content for it. Moving on to the next comment, Lloyd.
Okay, last one, I believe. I think this is the last one for this episode. It's from I Was Never in Sumatra. Is that? Yeah, that's it. And the comment is, so it's just Steam plus Proton on Linux. So when SteamOS 3.0 is released to the public, anyone will be able to just use it? I don't get the lust for this chunky piece of overpriced plastic. I Was Never in Sumatra, everybody has different needs. Some people like having portable game systems. They might not want to sit here. Like, I'm in a room with three monitors and lights and an uncomfortable chair, and it's not the best place to play when I'd like to lay in bed or sit on the couch or in my recliner and play games. So yes, if you are someone that does not want to run Windows, that you'd like to switch over to SteamOS 3.0 on your main PC, I don't see any reason why you wouldn't be able to, and you could use all the benefits that will come with SteamOS 3.0. As Gabe said, they want to give back to the PC community. You're free to do that. You can have a free OS that is optimized for video games. It'll be fantastic. But if you are someone like us that likes portable gaming and wants to play on a device that isn't a large PC in a basement with lights and screens and doohickeys, that might be a great device for those types of people.
Yeah, I'm just going to add on that, like, the idea that he says it's overpriced is just bananas to me. I think, if anything, Valve is throwing money out the window by selling this thing for, what is it, $400?
$400 to start, yeah.
Yeah, $400 to start. Now, like that first one, that $400 one, I guarantee, I don't have any inside knowledge here, but I guarantee they are losing money on that thing.
Definitely.
Now, the other ones, I don't know, but $400 for that is crazy cheap. Yeah. And, you know, even Gabe said that is a very painful price.
Right, exactly. Like, it's using modern CPU, modern GPU in the APU. It has new memory that really is not in use anywhere else in the PC market, except for maybe the newest of new motherboards that are coming off the assembly line. This isn't like 8-year-old Android phone that has been put into a device with a big screen and buttons and everything. This is modern technology. So yeah, it's definitely, to me, it's not overpriced. But again, if you already have a $2,000 gaming PC that you mm-hmm. throw all that stuff in, well, you don't need a $400 piece of plastic to play the games that you already have. You can just, I don't know, download SteamOS 3.0, and then you can have that experience on a much less portable thing.
Yes, exactly. You're paying for convenience, I think, with the Steam Deck.
Definitely.
All right. So now that we got the comments out of the way, again, you guys leave comments down below. We will respond to them. Thank you so much for watching. Let's move on to the interview over at Rock Paper Shotgun. Catherine Castle, the editor-in-chief over there, she interviewed Greg Coomer and Lawrence Yang from Valve.
Right.
And she has some really, really interesting questions, which I've highlighted. The first question says, with technology moving forward all the time, at what point do you draw the line and say, this is it? I can imagine there's always a temptation to wait for a better battery, a better CPU, better storage. Now, Coomer responded. They said, you know, why not upgrade it every 3 months? Because now they were started talking about what would the upgrade cycle be like for this device. And here's what they said. Why not upgrade it every 3 months? Obviously, that wouldn't be the best service. Like, people would be mad if you went out, you bought a device,
right,
and then 3 months later, that device is now obsolete. Although, in my opinion, 3 months is way too fast. But maybe yearly is okay, because like, it's kind of like a cell phone kind of thing. Anyway, back to the quote. Obviously, that wouldn't be the best service that we would do for game developers or for customers if we tried to operate that way. We're already looking ahead to the future because we believe this is a product line that will have a long life. So of course we're thinking about what we would build next, and we're starting to make plans in those directions, but there's not a design for Steam Deck 2. We're thinking along those lines of having conversations already, where we would draw the line for the next iteration of the device. So there's a couple of different ways. This is no longer part of the quote.
Right.
There's a couple of different ways that you can do this. You can do this like consoles, where a console comes out and it has a fairly extended lifespan, like 5-7 years, maybe 10 years if it's the PS2 or whatever.
Yep.
Or you can do it like cell phones, where each year there's a slight bump.
Yep.
Here's my question, Lloyd. Which would you prefer?
For me, I would like kind of in the middle, sort of what consoles have been doing for the last generation or two, where you come out with the Switch, and then a new version of the Switch comes out. It's not the Switch 2, it's not the Switch Pro, disappointingly to a lot of people out there that wanted a Switch Pro, but it's kind of a half step. That's really good. But it was done even better last generation on the PlayStation and Xbox, where you had a PlayStation 4. Then you had the PS4 Pro, then you had the Xbox One, you had the Xbox One X, where you get midlife, so 4 years into the 8-year expected life of these consoles, you get a new model that has beefier guts that can make games run better. I would love to see something more along those lines, probably not 4 years, like maybe every 2-3 years you come out with a model that you just add to the end of the stack. Maybe the first one drops off, the next one up becomes the $400 model, and then everything slides down. So they're going to keep the deck around. It's not going to be deck 2.0, but it's just going to be deck with faster memory, faster storage, faster CPU, more RAM, like whatever these upgrades are going to be. Someone that has bought a system and used it for 3 years probably isn't going to be that disappointed that a new model comes out that is 15% faster or 20% faster, because they've gotten 3 years out of this device. 3 months, crazy speak. I know it was being said because it was crazy speak in this interview.
Yeah.
But yeah, every 2-3 years, I would love to see them. If this actually works and it is a market that people want and there's people buying these things as fast as they can be made, I would love to see a fast one down the road. And it could be something as simple as a new model that has better thermals, that when you dock it, it's 40% faster because everything is ramped up now. It's not locked to it's like 1 gigahertz or 1.4 gigahertz of speeds. It just unlocks the rest of the speed of those devices. Something as simple as that in a few years would be fantastic.
Yeah, I personally think it would be better for the platform as a whole for it to come out every year. Every year they bring out a new one. It's a small spec bump, like sure. They do with phones,
iPads.
You can still run the, because what's going to happen is at the end of that 3 years, then you're going to be kind of struggling to run the newer games,
right?
But if it comes out every year, you can be like, oh, okay, well, I bought one this year and I'm not going to buy one next year. Maybe I'll wait 3 years to buy it,
right?
But if I didn't buy one on the first year and I get one on the second year, does that make sense?
Yeah, it definitely, that there's nothing wrong with that, with that thought of people buying in at some point. I used to sell computers like way back in the day for a very short period of time, and someone would come in and say, why should I buy a computer right now, like this PC or this Mac, why should I get this one? And I said, do you need a computer? And they're like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, they're not investments. You're not going to retire because you buy a computer now, or the one that you get next week will be something you can retire on. They don't appreciate in value for the most part, but they're like, they're tools. So do you go to the hardware store and buy a hammer, or do you go to the hardware store and say, is there new hammer technology coming out in the next month? And because that doesn't exist, you go to the store, you buy your hammer, you use it to put the nail in. And that's what computers are. So yeah, this way of doing things, I would prefer a little bit longer just so I feel better about my investment. But I buy phones, I buy tablets, like I have an iPad, I have an iPhone. I buy my devices whenever I buy them, and I get the, not the top of the line, I get kind of the middling sort of one. And if I wait a few years and get a new iPad, it's way faster than the one that I had a couple years ago. That would be a great option for the deck as well. Even if it is an annual or every couple years upgrade path, I think that would be a fantastic thing for them to do.
Well, I don't think that they're going to do what I want, where it comes out every year, because if that were the case, then he wouldn't say there's not a design for Steam Deck 2.
Right.
Because like things take a really, really long time to make. And
they do.
My guess is that this thing, the Steam Deck, they probably started working on this an exceedingly long time ago.
Right.
And they only just now got to it. Like,
yeah.
You talk about like consoles, the day that they ship the Xbox Series X, they probably had already been working on the next thing,
sure,
for 2 years or something like that. Like,
yeah.
R&D takes a long time. So my guess is it's probably going to be more to what Lloyd wants and less what I want, which is too bad for me. But hey, yay, Lloyd.
Especially when you understand that this device isn't just using off-the-shelf components. You can't just go to your your local Radio Shack, if they existed, or the place, the heavenly place in California where you used to be able to buy Fry's. That's the name of the thing. I think Fry's is all shut down. But I remember going to Fry's when I'd visit my buddy that lived in San Diego, and it was just walls and walls of components and cards and things like that. They're not doing that. They actually worked with AMD to develop a APU that has very low TDP and has high performance but low thermals. And they didn't just buy something off the shelf. They worked with a company to engineer this. That's not something you do every year unless you're Apple, because you're designing your own chips. This will be something that'll take a little bit longer. But they've been thinking about it, clearly, because they mentioned it in this interview.
Yeah. All right, back to the interview. The next question, or maybe not the next question, but the next question that I highlighted said, do you think 4K capable handhelds like the hotly rumored but still non-existent Switch Pro are actually realistic at this point? Here's the reply. So first off, Crooner says, but we weren't really very concerned with that for this generation. It was not achieving 4K and having a display that runs at that resolution. It was never really a design target for us. And then Yang replied, and it would have been a trade-off. Technically, it's possible to create a device of this size that can output 4K and run all of the games, but what would that device look like? How hot would it get? How long would it last? So everybody that keeps saying they need to have a higher resolution for this, you have to remember, if you increase the resolution, you decrease the battery life. You increase the heat, and you make it harder for games to run at a good frame rate. Right. So I think that like the 720p or 800p, if you want to be super technical, I think that that's probably a good thing that they went with.
Definitely. And you got to look at, like, Apple came out with these displays called Retina displays, and they don't talk about how many pixels anymore. They just say the pixels are close enough that you can't discern individual pixels, because it comes to a point where the size and amount of pixels, adding more doesn't really add much of anything. Your eye can only discern so many points of light. So putting a 4K monitor, or 4K screen rather, in this little device would be wasted. No one could see those individual pixels. 2K, a lot of the phones you buy these days that have bigger screens, they're more of like a 2K sort of device because they're skinnier and taller, and you do all the math. And that is what your eyeballs can see. 720p is a little bit low for me. I would love to have seen a 1080p screen, but then we go back to what Bill said. The bigger resolution that you're powering, the less features in games you can have enabled, because you're pushing more pixels in the GPU. So you have to then tone down the games, the texture and the resolution and do a bunch of tweaks that way. And then you have more battery being used. And then if you're taxing your GPU and CPU even more, there's even more of a battery drain. So I think Valve, obviously we don't have one in our hands, so we don't know, but I think Valve might have hit the sweet spot here. 720p should be good enough for most people, as long as games have adjustable font sizes. So you're not reading, you're not playing a game with a big magnifying glass out. You can get one of those great things that the Game Boy used to have, those little fold-out magnifying glasses and all that great stuff. Hopefully we won't need that for this device, but you're going to be able to see the games run well. They're pushing less pixels, so they will perform better, so you'll get higher frame rates. And yeah, I think it'll just look perfect on that device. So a 4K output would be nice if you would dock it and you'd get a big performance increase. But I think the thing would melt, actually, if you were ramping up the CPU and the GPU to output at 4K with the same sort of graphical stuff turned on. I just don't think there's any way that you can take that much heat away from this small portable device.
Yeah, I mean, look, Lloyd and I are both Apple guys. We both have Macs. We both have iPhones. We both have iPads. The iPad Pro, the 12.9 2021 iPad Pro that has an M1 chip in it, that thing has a resolution of 2732 by 2048.
Right.
It's not even 4K.
Yeah.
Okay. That, when you look at that, that's 264 pixels per inch. Now, the Steam Deck, and I'm relying on Reddit for this calculation, the Steam Deck has a pixels per inch of 215. That is less than the iPad, but not by much. And when you... Look, walk into an Apple store and look at an iPad Pro. That is one of the best screens you are going to see. It is gorgeous looking at that screen. Those screens are fantastic at 250 something pixels per inch.
Right.
I think that it's fine being 720 or 800, sorry, 800p.
Right.
I think that that's perfectly acceptable.
100%. Yeah. It's the trade-off that I'm the happiest making. I want games to run at better everything other than resolution, because you're not gonna be able to discern the difference between what you're looking at. If it was a higher resolution, your games just run worse. So yeah, this is a really good a good choice that they made when they're trying to make it run as best as it can, but also look as good as it can as well.
Yeah. All right, moving on. The next question says, you've already said that the Steam Deck will have all available settings and PC options you'd normally have on desktop, but are you also offering guidance to developers about optimization, font size, UI, scaling? We've talked about this a billion times.
Yep.
I forgot his name. Greg Kruner, I think it was. He said, yes, I think guidance is the right word, and so we're putting that together really right now. We're already talking to developers about it. Everything that we've learned so far about what works well under this device, what APIs they should target, Steam input is a big one. Even at the level that you're describing, what works for readability and usability on the device, we definitely have guidance that we're starting to talk to developers about that.
Great.
And this is exactly what Lloyd was talking about at the beginning of the show, targeting this as a device.
Yeah.
And with it selling as many as it is, I think that's a very, like, that's something that developers are going to want to do.
That's right. Yeah, 100%. They had to be doing it. Steam is good at this type of thing. They produce a product, they throw it an API, they document the hell out of it, they talk to developers, they get their feedback, they talk to users, get their feedback, they make changes, they iterate. So of course they're going to be doing stuff like this. It totally makes sense they're going to be doing it. But that's one other question that we threw out there that has now been answered, which is fantastic. Thanks, Rock Paper Shotgun.
That's right. All right, next question. It says, in your eyes, what is the next big hurdle for PC gaming hardware, and how is the Steam Deck equipped to handle that? How much future-proofing is built into it? We've got a little bit of back and forth here. So first off, they reply, there's nothing about this device that's overly narrow or that would preclude those new features from running. So the performance envelope that we're really happy with, but we're also happy with how generically applicable this device is to new technologies that come along, and how we've not had to design it in ways that are technically narrow that would preclude anything like that from happening. I think I just read the same sentence twice. So in a broad way, I think we're generally well positioned to be somewhat future-proof.
So yeah, like all these new technologies, whether they're software or hardware based, you're running a device that can adopt them. And if Valve themselves doesn't adopt them, well, you can homebrew the hell out of this device. You can make anything run on it and change how things run on it if you want. We've never had that with a console before. We're calling this a console again. Hate mail below if you want, but it's a device that has a set target. No Steam Deck is going to have different controls, different format, different anything. You're targeting a device, which is not something that PC devs normally do, because every PC is different. It'll have different components, different things attached to it, different accessories, different whatever. So being able to have a set device, they know what the software is, they wrote it, they know what the hardware is, they engineered it, they made it, they know what the games are because they have Steam running on a billion PCs worldwide. Now they can take newer technologies and just kind of bake them into the OS through firmware updates and software updates and all that stuff, which is great. The hardware itself won't be future-proofed, but maybe it can be with some software magic.
Yeah, and you know they even talked about that a little bit in the interview, how in the past they have continually updated firmware for their devices that they have made, the hardware that they've made, in order to make them better. A perfect example is the Steam controller. It shipped with a gyroscope. It didn't, like, nobody knew the gyroscope was in there, and then they patched it later to make the gyroscope work. At least that's the story that I read, which is kind of crazy. Now, Valve has said there's nothing in the Steam Deck that is hidden that we're going to do a firmware update and unlock later. Everything that is there, we've already talked about. But because, like Lloyd said, they write the software, they made the hardware, they made the operating system, they will continually update this thing and make things better. And then Castle came back and said, can you give us an idea about what those features might be, the features that they could update through firmware later? They said it relies heavily on the cloud technology that's built into the Steam Deck backend, or I'm sorry, the Steam backend. Streaming from another PC is a thing the device can do. Other things are like suspend and resume sessions where I'm sitting at a desktop PC playing a game. I want to seamlessly continue my game where I was having on the Steam Deck, and there are actually multiple ways to do that with a quick save in the cloud, or I could pick up where I left off streaming from that device. I was doing this earlier. I was playing Pathfinder which is like a computer RPG. I was playing it on GeForce Now, and then I ended up downloading my save data from that to my gaming PC, and I can picked up where I left off there. They're trying to make that much more seamless, where you're playing it on your Steam Deck, you turn it off, you pick up your controller on your or your mouse and keyboard on your computer, and you're exactly in the same spot. That's the kind of thing that they're working on. And then Yang responded, we fully expect that a lot of the updates we'll be making to the device, especially from a software standpoint, is once people have it in their hands, we're going to be hearing their feedback. And so everything that we say, they're going to say, oh, okay, well, we can try that. That's something we never thought of before. In fact, there was in the Steam controller, there's a setting now called Flickstick that was actually invented by a user of the Steam controller, where they made it so when you flick the stick of the controller, it points your character in a specific direction and behaves differently than most like twin sticks on a controller.
Right.
And Valve incorporated that and then credited him in Steam input.
Right. That's amazing. That's really cool. And that's what Valve does. Like, they're very open with what they work on, and they're quick to make changes. If that is a much requested feature or something that the users want. I just want to go back to DLSS for a second. I think I may have misspoke. Sure. I think I might have said that DLSS is the same that is in the NVIDIA Shield. That's AI upscaling, but it's very similar. Right. DLSS is, I think, only on RTX cards. So it's newer. It's using the faster GPU stuff and using the AI and the machine learning that they've put together to make this thing. So they're different, but they're essentially the same thing, where you take a smaller image and you can upscale it without any hit to really the CPU. I mean, there is some hit, obviously, but it's not the same as taking a game running at 1080p and then run it on the same computer at 4K. That's completely different. So similar technologies, different names for them, and they go about them a little bit of a different way. So I just want to be clear there. That I didn't conflate the two.
You're going to hear us do that kind of thing a lot. And it's not that we don't understand what we're talking about. It's that we're trying to take something that's really complicated and make it very simple. So like on like the first episode or whatever, we kept saying emulating when we were talking about Proton. Now, both Lloyd and I understand that it's not emulation. Wine stands for wine is not an emulator. But for most people, they don't care about what's happening. They just care about what the end result is. And the end result is that I'm playing a game that was written for Windows, not on Windows.
Right.
And for most people, that sounds like emulation. So we say emulation so that most people understand our point, even though it's not technically accurate. And that's kind of exactly what Lloyd's talking about with the DLSS and the AI upscaling and that kind of thing.
A big chunk of my daily duties at my day job is taking very complex technology ideas and dumbing them down so anybody can understand them. So I'm really used to doing that, taking something complex and simplifying it to say it to people in ways that they will understand. So if I do that, call me out if you want. That's fine. You can leave a comment below. I'm okay with that. But I'm not trying to fool or lie to people. I'm just trying to simplify things in ways that people understand.
And my day job is I'm a science teacher, so I do exactly the same thing, just not about tech stuff.
Exactly.
All right, so there's more to this interview. We're not going to go through the whole thing. You should definitely read it over at Rock, Paper, Shotgun. There will be a link in the description down below, and if you're listening to this on the podcast version, just head on over to our YouTube channel, and you'll get all those links as well. Really quick before we get out of here, I do want to do a quick lightning round. Somebody had dropped this in our Discord channel. If you didn't know, we do have a Discord channel, which is over at, tell me if I'm wrong about this, Lloyd, nerdnest.tv/Discord, right?
That's the one.
Okay. Join our Discord channel. There's like 1,500 other awesome people in there waiting to talk about video games, TV, movies. We got a channel where you post pictures of your pets. head on over there and join up. And each week, basically, or each episode of the show, we have a thread where people can drop posts that they want us to talk about. And I think it was Odow. I could be wrong about that. I should have written this down.
I believe so.
Odow. Yeah, okay. Odow dropped this in the channel for this episode. The Data Traveler Max USB 3.2 Gen 2 flash drive. This thing is a USB-C flash drive, 1,000 megabits per second write speeds.
Megabytes.
Megabytes per second. Yeah. Sorry. 900. That's read speeds of 1,000, write speeds of 900.
Right.
Not as fast as an SD card, but it's you can get this as like a terabyte, and apparently it's a little bit cheaper than like a terabyte SD card, which is cool. And when I saw this, I thought, okay, this is something that you could easily use to like keep a bunch of stuff on,
yeah,
and then pop it in, transfer the games that you want, and then pop it out.
Yeah.
Is that what you were thinking when you saw this too?
Yeah, like USB drives, like the little USB keys or things you put on your keychain. I call them keys, people call them thumb drives. You can call them whatever you want. They're usually slow and they're terrible. But there are some really faster ones that are coming out, like this Data Traveler Max. 1,000 megabytes a second, that is fast transfer speed for a USB thumb drive. So I could see myself, as some people have already planned out, I'm going to have an SD card for emulators. I'm going to have an SD card for all my old games. I'm going to have an SD card for all my new games. Well, you could just have the same thing, but with USB drives. And then if you are a PC gamer or a Mac gamer or someone else, you could then take these devices and drop them, connect them to your PC through the USB-C port, and then you can access that data that way. It'll be a good way to get data to and from the device, potentially. It'll be a good way to get screenshots and what else, whatever else you have, because USB drives are a little bit easier to use for most people than SD cards, micro SD cards. I don't think anybody has many people have a micro SD card slot on their PC. They might have an SD card slot and a terrible adapter and all that other garbage that comes along with it, but just plugging in a USB drive might be pretty quick. So thanks, Odow, for dropping that in. I had not heard about this new device from Kingston. We're not sponsored by Kingston, by the way, if you're wondering that this is just product placement. It is not. But this looks like a really cool device. And yeah, once they drop in price, you can get a terabyte for next to nothing. I could see people buying like stacks of these just to load up with all their games.
Yeah, real quick before we do wrap up, SD cards, be careful.
Yeah.
When you buy SD cards, there are a lot of counterfeiters out there. And like you might look on Amazon and say, oh, well, I mean, it's on Amazon and it says fulfilled by Amazon, but that doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Be careful when you are buying your SD cards and make sure that you can return it after you've tried it out to see like if it actually has the storage. And maybe we'll do a video or do an episode about this in the future. Like what's all the stuff on the SD card?
Right.
Like, because if you look at an SD card, like the micro SD cards, they have a lot of weird numbers on them and they're real small. And yeah, maybe we'll do an episode where we explain all that stuff so that people can know what they should buy when they're getting ready for their Steam Deck in December or quarter one or quarter two. Or I bet you there's even people waiting until quarter three by at this point.
Yeah, you would think so for sure. Yeah, it's definitely something to go over. SD cards are entirely confusing. What does this Roman numeral 2 mean? Why is this you have a line inside of it? What does this all mean? They're all garbage things, and there's a billion and one different specs and standards. So yeah, they're super confusing. USB drives, easy, very easy. And I'm all about easy.
There you go. That's it for this episode of On Deck. Thank you very much for watching or listening, depending on what you're doing. And if you have not already clicked on the subscribe button, please do click on that subscribe button. Click on the bell so you get notified each and every time we post something new. Earlier today, I did an entire stream playing Pathfinder Wrath of the Righteous. I had an absolute blast. That game is fantastic. That's a PC game, by the way. So I played it with mouse and keyboard, whether I like it or not, because it doesn't support controllers yet. But turn on the notifications and then you get to watch that kind of stuff right here at nerdnest.tv, our YouTube channel. Lloyd, awesome. You want to say goodbye to everybody?
Yeah, thanks everybody for coming out for episode 4, not 3, but 4 of On Deck. We'll see you in a couple weeks unless any other big news breaks. So enjoy your time, play those games, and leave comments below. We'd love to talk about them on the next episode of On Deck.